today. We have a number of elected officials in attendance today, and I would like to recognize them before we start our program. United States Congressman Trent Franks. Arizona State Senator John Nelson. Arizona State Representative Carl Seal. Glendale Mayor Elaine Scruggs. Glendale Councilmember Joyce Clark. Glendale Councilmember Yvonne Knack. Glendale Councilmember Manny Martinez. Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community President Diane Enos. Gila River Indian Community Governor William Rhodes. Gila River Indian Community Lieutenant Governor Joseph Manuel. Gila River Indian Community Council Member Martha Miller. Gila River Indian Community Council Member Barney Enos. Gila River Indian Community Council Member Jennifer Allison. Welcome and thank you for being here. The Chamber put together today's event to help educate our business community why so many entities have opposed the proposed Indian Reservation in Glendale. We will be hearing today from a panel of local, state, tribal, and federal officials who will each give their perspectives on their opposition to the proposed reservation. I've been asked, why is the Chamber hosting an event in opposition to this proposal, and why isn't the other side a part of the panel to present their viewpoint? Perhaps those asking that question are not aware that the Chamber has been an economic development partner with the City of Glendale since 1951. We're celebrating our 60th year. It is a strong, committed relationship that has resulted in many business success stories for our community. By vote of the board, the Chamber supports the City's position with regards to the proposed reservation, as well as the positions taken by state, tribal nations, and federal officials. This is intended to be an informational forum presenting our collective opposition, and it is not intended to be a debate on the pros and cons of the issue. Regardless of which side of the issue that you're on, we fully expect that ultimately the decision will not be decided by public opinion or the media, but by a court of law. Our purpose today is simply to collectively present our side of the issue in hopes that you may better understand the implications of potentially having a sovereign nation established in our community. We know that not all of you in attendance today may agree with this point of view, but we ask that you extend the same courtesy to our speakers today that you would expect to be extended should the conversation reflect your point of view. I would now like to introduce our panel. Mayor Elaine Scruggs. She was first elected to the Glendale City Council in 1990 as the first Cholla District Representative. She became mayor in 1993 and has served in that position since that time. Craig Tindall, the Glendale City Attorney, has been with the City Attorney Office since 2001 and was appointed City Attorney in 2005. His department handles all legal matters of the city, and he has been deeply involved with the topic of this presentation since it was first introduced to the city in January of 2009. Rick Bistro, Chief Deputy Attorney General, has practiced law for over 40 years. He's the Attorney General. He and the Attorney General Tom Horn were law partners for 20 of those 40 years. He left private practice and joined the Attorney General's office as Chief Deputy in January 2011. President Diane Enos of the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community is the 23rd President of the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community and the second woman elected to this office. She is the first member of the Salt River Indian Community to become a lawyer. President Enos practiced in the Maricopa County Public Defender's Office for 11 years, leaving as a senior trial attorney upon being elected as president of the Salt River Indian Community. United States Congressman Trent Franks is serving his fifth term in the United States Congress, representing the 2nd District of Arizona. He serves on the Armed Services Committee and the Judiciary Committee, where he is the chairman of the Constitution Subcommittee and a member of the Subcommittee on Commercial Law and Administration. Congressman Franks and his wife, Josephine, have been married since 1980, and they live in Peoria with their children, Joshua and Emily. Thank you all for your interest and attendance today. I'd now like to turn the program over to our mayor, Elaine Scruggs. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for being here today. I want to thank the Glendale Chamber of Commerce for offering this Power Lunch program so that business and community leaders will have an opportunity to hear how a proposed Indian reservation within Glendale impacts them, the city of Glendale, the state of Arizona, Arizona Indian tribes, and our nation. It has been a real challenge to get the serious facts of this situation out to the public so they can understand that there is so much more about this than whether it would be fun to have a casino nearby. Today, the Glendale Chamber of Commerce is giving us a rare opportunity to present the facts that have drawn opposition to the Tohono O'odham Nation's proposal from members of our Arizona congressional delegation and our state legislature, our governor, mayors of major Arizona cities, and most Arizona Indian nations, as well as residents and businesses. In April 2009, the Glendale City Council approved a resolution expressing the city's opposition to the creation of an Indian reservation on a parcel within our municipal planning area. Our council passed that resolution after considering the social, financial, and legal impacts of removing the land from all state and local jurisdiction. If converted into an Indian reservation, the land would become a sovereign nation permanently. The laws and regulations of the state, county, and our city will not apply to activity at the proposed site. And despite all the rhetoric about vast amounts of money coming to our city, there will be no tax revenue from the casino or any other development on the site if this land has been taken into federal trust and converted into an Indian reservation. Like the Tohono O'odham, the city of Glendale is well aware of the tremendous economic potential of this site in our sports and entertainment district. In 2002, the city of Glendale presented a proposed general plan to our voters as required by state law. Uses identified for this parcel in our general plan and approved by our voters are projected to create 500 commercial and retail jobs and 5,000 office jobs. If developed per our approved general plan, Glendale will realize $10 million in construction sales tax and, more importantly, $5.5 million annual recurring revenue at build-out. This will only happen if the site is developed as a parcel in the city of Glendale, county of Maricopa, state of Arizona, whether done by the Tohono O'odham Nation or a different entity. But this will not happen if the United States Secretary of the Interior transfers the land into trust for the benefit of the Tohono O'odham Nation in order for the nation to conduct gaming activity on the land. The City of Glendale elected officials and staff want to make it perfectly clear that we do not oppose on-reservation gaming that is conducted in accordance with the Federal Indian Gaming Regulatory Act and the Arizona Gaming Compact. We respect the rights of Arizona Indian tribes to conduct gaming on existing reservations according to Arizona and federal law. We do not support off-reservation gaming, which is what the Tohono O'odham tribe proposes. We respect the right of the Tohono O'odham Nation to develop the 134 acres of land they own if done as every other landowner and developer has done and will do in the future. The land does not need to be removed from state and local jurisdiction and converted into an Indian reservation for the nation to build the office buildings, hotels and resorts, shopping centers and residents that they speak of. Glendale continues to invite the nation to come to City Hall with their plans, and we will issue the building permits as quickly as possible. We look forward to seeing cranes and construction workers on the land. The only reason that the Tohono O'odham Nation needs the land to be taken into federal trust is to use it for off-reservation gaming, thus breaking the promise made to Arizonans in 2002. Today you will hear more about the legal, social, and financial impacts of the Tohono O'odham's proposal. I want to thank you in advance for your attention and your thoughtful consideration of this extremely serious issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'd reiterate the Mayor's appreciation for your being here today. My name is Craig Tindall, as Jennifer said. I'm the city attorney for the city of Glendale, and I have dealt with this issue since January of 2009 for quite some time. I will tell you that this is an extremely complex issue. When we were told, all of the speakers, that we would talk for about 10 minutes on this topic, I panicked a bit because there is a whole lot that we could cover on this issue, and it would take a very long time. So the best we could do today is an overview of the issues. And as the mayor said, there are several social issues, political issues. There's, with a small p, political issues, social issues, and legal issues. There are many, many legal questions that come up with this, and those are obviously, as a city attorney, my concern. There are, in fact, four separate lawsuits right now ongoing in various courts on this issue. I could not do justice to all the legal aspects of this in the small time that we have. So I want to focus more maybe on one of the social issues that are involved here, legal aspect, but a social issue. One of the practical problems with this proposal from a municipal perspective. As most of you know, the cities spend a lot of their resources, a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort in planning. We do a lot of planning. The mayor mentioned some of the plans that we do. We plan for land use, water and wastewater, roadways, economic development. Those plans are very, very important to a community in a couple of different ways. First, planning is necessary for a reasonably orderly development of a community. Municipalities form because people live relatively close to each other. They live in an urban area. What one person does, one person or one business does or does not do, can affect others around them. And so the impact, either financially or in a quality of life, is very important that there be plans in place to address those. Secondly, planning allows citizens and businesses, constituencies of the cities, to decide directly or through their elected officials what the community will be now and in the future. One of the primary purposes of planning is for the community to have a voice in what the community will look like now and will look like in the future. So in that context, any large proposal that comes to the city, no matter what it is, either in or near the city, goes through a rigorous planning process. And it does that in order to achieve the two purposes I just mentioned. So now, to focus on the Tohono O'odham proposal right now, as the mayor mentioned, in January of 2009, we were informed that 134 acres, about a mile and a half north of here at 91st and Northern, would be turned into an Indian reservation, and we were told by the Tohono O'odham that this was a decision of that tribe and the federal government. The city had no input at all into that. The city learned subsequently that the land had been held for several years by the Tohono O'odham in a nondescript corporate name while the community around it developed, and that the only reason really they had for owning the land, or the only connection they had to this land, was to develop a gaming facility, a large gaming facility. After about 2 months' worth of research and gaining an understanding of what this proposal really meant, council, as the mayor mentioned, passed a resolution that opposed this, and staff was directed to do what is necessary and prudent to take the measures to voice that opposition quite strongly through the courts and other areas. The land itself, the 134 acres just north of here, is a county island, but it's completely surrounded by the city of Glendale. It's within the boundaries of the city of Glendale. It is within our planning area. Yeah, we have planned, as the mayor mentioned, for a land use there, for water and sewer. It was never anticipated in any of those plans that this would be an Indian reservation with a large casino on it. Not by the city, not by the citizens who bought homes around there, not by the people who rented apartments right on the border of this reservation, not by the parents who send their children to the high school across the street from this proposed reservation, or the businesses that are located around there. And this is not like any other reservation in the valley. Those other reservations are not surrounded by a city. They existed prior to Arizona becoming a state. They existed prior to the cities that are close to them now. And so those cities were able to plan appropriately with respect to how the development would occur and an understanding of what it meant to have an Indian nation next door. And this development, this proposal is a development that's not like any other development. This isn't really a development. What this is taking 134 acres in an urbanized area and putting another form of government in place. Although the land is in the city of Glendale, the governmental entity that will have authority over that land will serve only their constituency, as it should. But that constituency is not the surrounding community. The community that developed around there. Citizens and businesses in the surrounding community will have no voice. The Tonawanda Nation made that clear initially when they presented this proposal, and they've made that clear in other proposals that they've done in other parts of the state. So, it should be understood, as well as the mayor said, that the city of Glendale is not seeking to deprive the tribe of economic use of this land. The TO can develop that land, but they have to do that without it being a reservation, consistent with the laws and the regulations and the plans that are applicable to development in this area. Developing that land without being a reservation is the only way to assure that the development in this urban area, where it will unquestionably have a very significant impact on the surrounding businesses and the communities that are there, will occur with the considerations of all the interests that are directly impacted. The Tonawanda Nation chose to develop within a city, and yet its intent is to ensure that that land is developed outside the bounds that were set for development by that community. So that's one reason. As I said, there are very many other reasons, legal and social reasons, why this proposal is bad. And unfortunately, we don't have time to get into a whole lot of those. But the citizens and businesses of the city, with the creation of a reservation within its boundaries, will be deprived of a voice of what goes on in that area. And for that reason, I think, is one of the major reasons why our council has decided to oppose this and why the city has taken the opposition that it has. I think now is my opportunity to turn it over to Rick Bistro from the AG's office. Okay.
Attorney General Tom Horn regrets that he could not be here today because of other commitments. But I am honored to speak on his behalf and lay out for you our general position regarding the contentious issue of casino gambling in the heart of Glendale, Arizona. Some history is in order. Tribal gaming started in the 1970s, and over the years, it exploded. This led to much litigation and regulatory controversy, because there were many who believed that tribes were engaging in a vice-ridden industry and gambling should not be permitted. In 1988, Congress waded into this turmoil and enacted a comprehensive statutory scheme called the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, generally referred to as IGRA. The essential thrust of that law is that Class 3 gaming, that is casinos, will be permitted to operate pursuant to tribal state compacts. It was thought that states and tribes, negotiating in good faith, would reach balanced agreements that would protect each other's legitimate interests. IGRA has been a resounding success from an economic perspective. Before IGRA was passed in 1988, there were 108 gambling facilities on Indian lands, spawning some $100 million in revenues. By 2007, 226 tribes offered gaming at 419 sites, generating gambling revenues of $26 billion. Gaming on tribal lands constitutes big business. The economic juggernaut of casino-style gambling did not go unnoticed in this state. By the early 2000s, the dog and horse racing industry sought to siphon off a large portion of Indian gaming revenues and asked voters to allow racetracks located in urban areas to operate thousands of slot machines. This led to a ballot initiative, Prop 201, that was submitted to the voters in 2002. At the same time that the dog and horse racing industries were gathering signatures for their ballot initiative, state officials, under the leadership of Governor Hull, negotiated a compact with 17 of Arizona's 21 Indian tribes. This compact, known as Prop 202, was submitted to the voters in November 2002 as an alternative to Prop 201. State officials vehemently opposed the Racing Track Initiative and strongly supported the comprehensive agreement set forth in Prop 202. Prop 201 was defeated, and Prop 202 was enacted into law over 8 years ago. What did Prop 202 do? Among other things, it reduced and limited the number of gaming facilities that could be operated on tribal lands while expanding the types of games that could be operated. The policy of our government officials were clear. The state recognized that there existed a strong aversion to gambling. It understood that casinos can cost the state and cities in terms of lost revenues and social ills such as crime, bankruptcy, and pathological gambling behaviors. At the same time, there was a recognition that Indian tribes, for generations, had been mired in poverty, and that gaming offered them a real opportunity to create jobs, rebuild their communities, and provide them with decent schools, roads, water facilities, and other vital services. Prop 202 forged a compromise between these competing interests. All of the parties to the compact understood the delicate nature of the compromise. The state made it clear that it did not want large-scale gaming facilities to expand into its heavily populated and urban areas. Indeed, it rejected any such efforts. That is why it opposed and campaigned against the horse and dog racing track initiative. That is why it reduced and limited the number of casinos on Indian tribal lands. Indeed, official statements in favor of Prop 202 spoke in terms of limited Indian gaming, that no new casinos will be built in the Phoenix metropolitan area, that gaming was to be kept on Indian reservations and not be allowed to move into our neighborhoods. Every signatory to the compact, including the Tohono O'odham Nation, understood that the compact entered into by the parties and sold to the voters of this state limited the number of facilities each tribe could operate and would not allow for any additional casinos in the greater Phoenix area. Had there not been this mutual understanding, let us be clear, there would have been no compact. When the compact was being negotiated, and as the campaign to pass Prop 202 proceeded, no one from the Tohono O'odham Nation stated a contradictory understanding. No one from the nation told its fellow tribes that it was eyeing a piece of property in the heart of Glendale. No one from the nation said a word that it could or that it intended to purchase such property under the Gila Bend Act and put a casino on it. The state was left in the dark. Fellow tribes were left in the dark. The citizens of this state, and most important, the citizens of Glendale were left in the dark. The nation allowed Prop 202 to be signed and passed without uttering a word of its intentions to its negotiating partners. So now we have the specter of the nation secretly purchasing this 134-acre parcel in 2003, not in its own name, but in the name of a foreign corporation. 2 years ago, it announced its intention to put this property into an Indian land trust with the avowed purpose to place a casino on the site. It knew in doing so, the casino would be located next to a public high school and surrounded by residential homes. It cared not a whit about the solemn understanding reached with the state and its fellow tribal partners, nor did it care about broad public concerns regarding the deleterious effect of gambling and how those effects might harm cities such as Glendale in both social and economic terms. It did not even care about its fellow tribes and how a casino in the middle of Glendale would threaten their collective economic interests. In short, it was not concerned with the balancing of interests that had been so delicately carved out by the parties in the compact of 2002. It was concerned about one thing and one thing only, profit. Everyone else is to be damned. The city of Glendale came to see me many months ago and asked for help from the Attorney General to legally thwart the efforts of the nation to undo the understanding of 2002. The Attorney General readily agreed. We are helping in this fight because we are not going to willingly allow the broad agreement of 2002 to be undone. A commitment made is a commitment that should be kept. The Attorney General understands that in any legal fight, there will be twists and turns. We have been dismayed at the actions of the federal government, which has given some initial green lights to the nation. How can the United States even consider taking this 134-acre parcel or any portion of it into trust under the Gila Bend Act? Congress never intended to allow the nation to purchase property in the middle of Glendale, put the property into the reservation system, and remove the property from the jurisdiction of city, county, and state governments. It most assuredly did not intend for casinos to be built in contravention of compacts reached with the state of Arizona. We at the Attorney General's office are not pessimistic about the ultimate results. We hear naysayers tell us that the federal government will bend statutory language and do whatever the nation wants, and that the federal courts will rubber stamp those decisions. We are more optimistic than that. I'm reminded of a friend who had two boys. On Christmas, he put one gift on one side of the tree for his elder son and another gift on the other side for his younger son. The older boy, the pessimist, found a bike on his side, but he said, "When I ride it, I'm just going to fall off and hurt myself." The optimistic boy opened up his gift and found a big bag of manure. And he exclaimed, "Dad, you're so great. Thanks a million for giving me a pony." Our litigation to vindicate the understanding of 2002 has a long way to go. The nation is asserting a position which is unjust, unfair, and injurious. The Attorney General's office represents the public interest. We are on Glendale's side, and ultimately, we expect common sense to prevail. Thank you.
Good morning. First of all, I would like to thank the Chamber of Commerce, Mayor Scruggs, the state, but especially the Chamber of Commerce for asking us to come here and provide you with some information that we think is very important and relevant to the issue. The Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community, of which I am the current president, has been a member of the Glendale Chamber of Commerce for 12 years. So we see ourselves as partner in economic development across the valley, including Glendale. What I'm here to talk about is the tribal perspective on this issue before us today. And the question that we have to ask, first of all, is why is the Glendale Casino proposal detrimental to Native American or Indian tribal gaming in the state of Arizona? And I want to be clear first, very first, up front with you. Our dispute is not with the people of the Tonawatam Nation. Our dispute is not with the citizens who are our relatives, our friends, and we share a lot of cultural similarities and identity with these folks. We consider them our people as well because they're Otham and we are Akamaratham. They are desert people. They are Tonawatam. Our dispute is with the government of the Tonawatam Nation, particularly with the current government of that nation, which the Attorney General's office has outlined some of the legal problems in some of the areas that point to unfairness. What I want to describe, first of all, is the Tonawatam Nation. For those of you that may not know, it has over 2.8 million acres. It's the second largest reservation out of 565 tribes in the United States. It is larger than Delaware, larger than Rhode Island, and is comparable to the size of Connecticut. For over 10 years, the Tonawatam Nation has enjoyed very substantial gaming opportunities. It has three casinos currently in operation. Under the Prop 202 compact, the Tonawatam Nation negotiated with the other tribes and with the state of Arizona. It can operate more casinos. It has the right to operate four casinos under the compact, which is more than any other tribe in Arizona except for the Navajo Nation. It has the authority, the right to operate more slot machines than any other tribes in Arizona except one, and that's the Gila River Indian Community. And it has the more table games than all other tribes in Arizona. Currently, there are 12 tribes in Arizona that have taken steps in opposition to this proposed Glendale Casino. Not many people know that. And I want to refer back to what the Attorney General's office said about the compact. During the negotiation for the compact, the tribes negotiated amongst ourselves first. And there are three categories of tribes under the compact. First, there are what we refer to as the non-gaming tribes, tribes that live out in very rural, desolate parts of the state who have no market. They are included in the compact. They get a right to transfer some of their machines to marketplace tribes that have an opportunity to rent and to use those machines. And they get a share of the revenue from the gaming activities in Arizona. Activities like this are ways that people, for instance, in Hualapai, which is a very desolate area of the state, people can provide monies to buy services like police officer services, fire protection, education, books for their children, and even school clothes for those children whose parents cannot afford that. You have non-gaming tribes like Zuni up near the New Mexico border who also share in the revenue. And then you have another category, which is called the rural tribes. They are more distant from the metropolitan area, and they have a more limited marketing area, but they also have a stake in the compact, and it was all of us that negotiated, along with the metro tribes. Some of the metro tribes, particularly in the Phoenix and Tucson area, the Gila River Indian Community, the Salt River, Pima Maricopa Indian Community, Ok-Chin Indian Community, and the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation all have compacts and our term metro tribes, which we have a more lucrative opportunity here being in the market. Now, these 12 tribes that have taken steps to oppose the Glendale Casino idea know that the ultimate threat to all of us is not only a disruption of the balance that was achieved during Prop 202 in those negotiations amongst ourselves first and then with the state of Arizona and then ultimately with the voters. We look at that process and that final result as a partnership. And you can look at it almost as a business partnership because a lot of you are business people. When you go to negotiate a contract or an offer of some sort or a joint opportunity, you know that you go to the table together and then you put all your resources and all your give and take on the table. You do not hold back because we know that under the law of contract, you can't do that. But it's unfair to do that, and that's exactly what the Tohono O'odham Nation has done. The Attorney General's office described during the negotiations that occurred with the tribes and with the state of Arizona that Tohono O'odham was secretly buying property here. And I wanted to touch on that briefly. But before I do that, the AG's office really did a good job on that. But I need to let you know also, and I mentioned a second ago that the Tohono O'odham Nation has the right under the compact to have four casinos. Now, if this process that they're engaged in allows them to have the Glendale property turned into trust land, and if it allows that property to be used for gaming under IGRA, there's nothing to stop the Tohono O'odham Nation from purchasing more county islands in the metropolitan Phoenix area and turning those into federal trust land and developing gaming on there as well, because they have a right to have four casinos. And if you business people understand that you want to go where the market is, and ultimately, again, I keep referring back to the racetracks, because under Prop 201, the racetracks tried to get slot machines, and they're still trying to do it today. One of the things that you also know also as business people is that when you negotiate something, you have an idea of what you're going to do with your resources, how much investment you're going to have to make, and what you expect from returns. All of the other tribes that were parties to those negotiations understood that we would get a return, and we also developed our properties and developed our resort. For instance, at Salt River, we have the Talking Stick, in reliance upon the strategy and in reliance upon the compact as it was negotiated in the final result. A little bit more on the history. When Governor Hull, and we're going to talk about here about the promises, when you go to the negotiating table and you negotiate and you come up with a final result, you expect everyone to rely on that, and that was called the 17 Tribe Initiative. Governor Hull released a press conference on tentative agreement reached with the 17 tribes, including the Tohono O'odham Nation, on February 20th on 2002. She stated, no additional casinos will be allowed in the Phoenix metropolitan area and one additional casino in the Tucson area. On March 11th of 2002, Tohono O'odham signed a confidentiality agreement with a real estate broker to find a casino in the metropolitan and the West Valley area on the route to California as well. On April 8th of 2002, the Arizona Indian Gaming Executive Director at the time, David Lessard, testified to the state legislature, and I quote, one of the most important items within the agreement, referring to the compact, included the limitation of facilities in the Phoenix metro area, to the current number, meaning seven casinos, and allows the possibility for only one more facility in Tucson. There was, in 2002, part of our campaign, the AIGA, Arizona Indian Gaming Association Voter Guide, paid for with major funding provided by some of the major tribes, including Salt River, Gila River, Okchin, Fort McDowell, and a lot of the Apache tribes. But Tohono O'odham was the second largest or third largest major funder of that. And the voter campaign booklet says, there's a question, does Prop 202 limit the number of tribal casinos in Arizona? Answer, yes. In fact, Prop 202 reduces the number of authorized gaming facilities on tribal land and limits the number and proximity of facilities each tribe may operate. Under Prop 202, there will be no additional facilities authorized in Phoenix. There will be no additional facilities authorized in Phoenix, and only one additional facility permitted in Tucson. This is what we told the voters of Arizona. This was part of our seeking partnership with the voters of Arizona, that we would have limited gaming, gaming would be stable, and it would be on existing tribal lands. Again, in 2002, Arizona Secretary of State's official voter guide for the Prop 202 vote contains a statement from Governor Hull on why the voters should approve Prop 202. Governor Hull supported this, and she knew that it would not only bring a benefit to the citizens of Arizona, but to the tribes as well. She wrote, voting yes on Prop 202 ensures that no new casinos will be built in the Phoenix metropolitan area and only one in the Tucson area for at least 23 years. And that's a direct quote. Now, Chairman Norris of the Tohono O'odham Nation will tell you, when asked about the promises that we all as gaming tribes made to the voters and the state of Arizona, he will tell you that that's just a publicity pamphlet. When asked about why did we make these assertions to the voters and to the state of Arizona, he'll say, it's just a publicity pamphlet. So, again, following a little bit of the chronology, the Thona Autumn Prop 202 compact became effective on February 5th of 2003. And in March 12th of 2003, Thona Autumn created a Delaware corporation to buy the casino land. And in August of 2003, the Delaware corporation bought the casino property that we're here talking about today. Now, they've never denied this. They have never, in fact, they've admitted that they were seeking to purchase lands, as I stated earlier, during the negotiations of Prop 202. And we ask, what does this mean? Again, I go back to the arguments that were made during Prop 202 time, and the arguments made by the racetracks for racinos to have slot machines. And there's a provision in the compact that says that if non-Indian entities, and referring back to the well-fought balance that the compact achieved, there's a provision that says if non-Indian entities get slot machines, then the poison pill is invoked. What the poison pill is, it means ultimately a step towards statewide gaming. To us as tribal gaming businesses and to us as tribal nations, that is the ultimate threat that this Glendale casino proposal brings to all of us. Is that, and I think that is something that I would urge you as citizens of the state, not only citizens but business people, to consider. Do we really want statewide gaming in Arizona? Do we really want Las Vegas-style gaming? Because as they say, all bets are off if that occurs. The tribal nations will not have to share revenue anymore if the poison pill is invoked. We will not have to contribute to the nonprofits that we have to do right now. We would not have to contribute to the trauma centers, to the public safety, to the wildlife funds, to problem gaming. Those are requirements under the state compact. We would not have to do so, and we could have as many casinos as we want, as many slot machines as we want, but so could everybody else in Arizona ultimately. So that is the disruption, that is the threat that we as tribal nations see in this Glendale proposal. It's not an easy thing to stand here. It's not an easy thing to talk about what we consider bad faith of another tribal nation, in fact, our relatives. We do so reluctantly, but we do so that in future years that we do not have to look at ourselves and say, we didn't say anything at the time. We should have said something. We should have spoke up. So that's why I'm here today, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, President Enos. We understand how difficult it is, and we thank you for being here as the Gila River Indian Community. As now, Congressman Trent Franks.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much. And I want you to know I'm grateful to be here with all of you today. I think it's very appropriate for the Chamber of Commerce to hold such a gathering, and I certainly want to express my thanks, because this indeed has significant implications for the productivity and the commerce of this city and this state. And again, I think it's very appropriate for you to be doing this. And I feel a little bit like a fish out of water here, because these folks, all erudite, have done an excellent job in explaining this situation, far better than I'm able to do. Each of them have done wonderful. I'm so proud of our mayor. I'm going to go ahead and single her out if I could for a moment. You know, they've tried to make it sound like Glendale's just being stubborn here. But the truth is, the mayor is standing up for the people of this city and this state and the precedents that are represented here. And I am extremely proud of her and her administration. And I hope you'll all express that to her as well. Of course, Craig Tindall here. He has outlined the legal implications very significantly, and I appreciate his good work. And Mr. Bistro, I have to say to you, I hope your optimism is well-founded here, and I believe that it is, and I think your illustration probably puts it in a good way, but I think that, in a sense, it's a hard thing to say, but you had the courage to say it, and I want to reiterate it. The issue here is that the Tohono O'odham government, not the Tohono O'odham people, have put profit ahead of all other things and the rest of the people and interests be damned. And I want you to know I think you're correct on that. That's probably the simplest way and to capsulize what's happened here, and I appreciate it very much. And President Enos, I don't even belong speaking at this platform after you've done such an excellent job in outlining this situation. This lady's a fireball. She gets it done. And I really appreciate your thoughts here, to say the least, and I'll have another word about that later. But let me just tell you, as I've said, these folks have outlined it better than I can. But with that said, they've asked me to try to sort of bring it together here. And so, as Henry VIII said to his fourth wife, I promise I won't keep you long here. it depends on where I go. Sometimes that works better than other times. Yeah. The truth is, all of us are here, not only at this table, but in this crowd. We each have oftentimes disparate rationale at the bases for our opposition to this effort on the part of the Tohono O'odham government to bring a sovereign nation into the center of a city without that city's permission, without even telling them that it was coming. And I want you to know that I certainly have my own reticence about focusing on just gaming for the tribal interests and the reservations in general. I think it's very important on the part of all policymakers to begin to try to work on long-term productive industry for these nations so that they don't have to deal with all of these kinds of things. But with that said, I just, in the interest of being totally open, with that said, this situation here has a lot of negatives for everyone. This is something that I believe has negative implications for our neighborhoods, for our children, and for a lot of different reasons. But ultimately, the ostensible object of casinos is to create revenue and to create economic development. But the reality is, in this circumstance, as the mayor has so clearly said, this won't be a development of economic interest in this city. This will essentially be a drain on economic strength of the city. And so I think that of all of the things that one would juxtapose against the obvious negatives, we don't even have a lot of positives in this situation. So I once again want to express my gratitude to the mayor for her courage and standing up in this situation. Now let me say a moment just about the process. Again, most of these things have been covered. But the Gila Bend Indian Reservation Replacement Act, as all of you know, which is the ostensible grid that the Tohono O'odham have based their actions upon, it was never meant to create any situation like this. This was meant to be able to create to replace reservation lands that had been displaced by dams or federal projects, and it had a noble commitment in it in the beginning. But for them to distort it this way really is a distortion that the media especially should be aware of. And I want to just go ahead while I'm walking by here insulting as many people as I can, is to say something to the Arizona Republic. It's important that the media delve into this situation and look at the background here and see what has happened here. Because if they do, it's very hard for them to have a real basis for any kind of support for this effort. And I hope they will do that, and I hope that they will begin to really understand what's happened here. We're seeing on the federal level a lot of activity like this across the country. Most of you have heard the term reservation shopping. But understand here what has really happened and what the precedent really is. If a reservation or a sovereign nation, a sovereign tribal nation, is able at will to be able to either buy land or acquire it some way and just simply inject a nation in the middle of a city, do you understand the precedent that represents? you understand that no city then is safe in this situation? Do you understand the chaos that will follow? And that's beginning to happen all over the country. And I want you to know that Congress is fully aware of it, and many of us are committed to making sure that just for the sake of some semblance of organization, that we begin to break this apart. I thought that, again, President Enos said it very well when she said the compacts themselves were very clear on this issue. And this is a hard thing to say. But I think she goes to the very heart of this issue in the strongest way, and that is that there has been a demonstrated breach of integrity on the part of the Tohono O'odham government in this situation. And that's something that should be rejected by the state and its people, because the implications go far beyond just casino gaming. They go beyond compacts. They go beyond economic development. It actually goes to the heart of our ability as a people to get together and make agreements and stick to them in an environment of trust. Because, you know, so oftentimes we have varying ideas of what creates productivity. Some people say, well, it's competition. You know, the conservative Republicans, like myself, talk about competition and free markets a lot. And we believe in those things. Other people talk about being socially responsible. But ultimately, none of these things can be done well outside an environment of trust. And I believe that the Tohono O'odham reservation here, or the Tohono O'odham government here, has broken trust with not only its fellow tribes, but with its fellow countrymen. And that's a heavy statement to make. And this is something that's a bad road for us to all go down. And I wish I didn't have to be the heavy here. But this has extreme implications for our city, for our state, and for our country. And I would suggest to you there's usually a moment in the life of every problem when it is big enough to be seen and still small enough to be solved. And I believe that window is closing here, here in Glendale. And it's important that those of you who have had a voice amplify that. My main purpose here, and I'm going to close this up right away. My main purpose here is to come to you and tell you that, number one, I'm proud of the courage that you've displayed so far. Number two, that I believe it's important that you amplify that voice every way you can, because the Tohono O'odham government has hired tremendous PR firms, and they've kind of overwhelmed, they've kind of flooded the zone here. And it's important that we speak out on this issue. It's important that people understand that the general public here is not confused about this issue. This is something that they never wanted, and they don't want now. And it's important that we speak out. And then my last thought to you is very simple, is that there's a lot of us in Congress that see the circumstance here for what it is. There is various legislation that is coming down the pike, mostly from the U.S. Senate right now. Some of it will not affect this directly, but if some of us are given the opportunity to amend it, it might. And I just want you to know that we're with you. And I can't speak for everyone in Congress, but I can say to you today that I am unequivocally committed to this battle that you're fighting in such a noble way. And let's make sure that we not only keep our word with each other, but let's make sure that cities and states are not just thrown into chaos by this idea of someone suddenly being able to create a nation that completely turns on its axis the whole dynamic of government. And let's make sure that we do this now while we can, because if we lose this one, the implications down the road are very significant. With that, I want to express with Mr. Bistro a modicum of optimism. I believe that when free people stand up and do what's right, it's very difficult to stop them, and I think we're going to win. And I thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you.